In the first reading today, we hear God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you." Now we would look at Jeremiah and he says, well, we know that he's called to be a prophet. We'd say, well, yeah, that makes sense. God had something special for him, and so he's called in a special way. That's not the case. You too were formed before God, before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. And he dedicated you, and he called you. He maybe hasn't called you to be a prophet to the nations, but he has called you to the vocation that is yours. It is no less special of a vocation than that of the prophet Jeremiah. If we look at it from one perspective, every single person on the face of the planet is made in the image and likeness of God. God is love. Every person is made to love and to be loved. But for you and me, we have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And being a member of our blessed Lord means that we have become sons and daughters of God, not only just made in his image and likeness now, but we have become his sons and daughters. We share the divine nature and we share the divine life. And so every single person on the face of the earth will be fulfilled only in charity. But that is even more incumbent upon us. But it's because our Lord loves us so much. And that's what he wants for us. Now this is a challenge for us because we live, as I keep saying, in the single most selfish society history has ever known. And love is the opposite of selfishness. And so our society is pulling us the wrong direction. We have to make a choice. Now, before I get to that choice, let's be very clear about what we're talking about. One of the problems in English is that there is only one word for love, and it means all kinds of different things, but we only have one word. The Greeks have four different words for love. Latin has three different words for love. In English, we have one. So we're not talking about romantic love. In Greek, that would be eros. We're not talking about the love of friends. That would be philos in Greek. We're not talking about even the love of family members, which would be storge in Greek. The word St. Paul uses in the second reading is agape, which the Latins would translate as caritas, or charity. Charity not meaning simply giving money to the poor or something like that, but charity meaning seeking only what is the best for the other. Now you recognize immediately how that goes directly against our society, because if it's seeking the best for the other and not looking out for the self, it already puts us in a position where we have quite a challenge. That's why it has to be a choice. We have to choose to love. We have to choose in this society to go against the grain, to do the opposite of what society is suggesting for us. And so even though sometimes to love someone is very hard, it is the only thing that will fulfill. And God allows those difficulties because he wants us to grow in virtue. All virtues fall under the virtue of charity, every last one of them. So only at the moment that charity is perfected are any and all of the other virtues perfected. So we have to have that charity to grow in anything. But now we have to look at how this works. We look, for instance, at the first reading, and God tells the prophet Jeremiah that he has to go out and preach, but he said, they're not going to listen to you. That's why he said, I made you a fortified city and a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land. They'll fight against you, but they're not going to prevail. So what a deal for Jeremiah. Go out and preach. They're going to hate your guts for it. They're going to try and kill you how many times over. But that wasn't the issue. As we read further along, Jeremiah got pretty angry. And because of his anger, God said, you can't preach. Until you learn how to bring forth the sacred without the vile, you can't preach. He was supposed to preach the love of God. The love of God for these people was to repent, to stop doing what you're doing, to get your act together. It wasn't just the gushy, but God loves you, so isn't that nice? But no, it was a matter of bringing the love of God. But because of how he was treated, Jeremiah let his anger get in the way. And he wasn't able to bring that message of love anymore. And so if we are made to love, we have to ask what's in the way. God has called each one of us to that charity. But our selfishness is in the way. And whatever other vices that we have are in the way. And so do we really want that charity? Now again, when we talk about the charity, let's look at what St. Paul is talking about. First of all, we have to recognize that he tells us that this is the greatest of all of the virtues, and it is. But then he goes on to say, if I can speak in tongues, but I don't have love, I have nothing. If I can prophesy, if I have the gift of prophecy, but I don't have love, I have nothing. If I have knowledge, but I don't have love, I have nothing. All of those are what are called charismatic gifts. Charismatic gifts are given for the sake of someone else. It has absolutely nothing to do with the holiness of the person who has the gift. So in other words, if someone can speak in tongues, or someone can prophesy, or someone can heal, or someone can do whatever, you can actually be in the state of mortal sin and still do those things because it has nothing to do with the holiness of the person who has them. Charity, on the other hand, has absolutely everything to do with the holiness of the person who has it. But the one that's interesting in this list that St. Paul gives, he said, if I have faith so as to move mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing. Now that's pretty interesting because you cannot be saved without faith. Look in the gospel. Why couldn't Jesus work any miracles at Nazareth? Because of their lack of faith. When Jesus healed the various people, why? He said, as your faith has done, so be it done. Because your faith is great, so be it. And so it's faith that is necessary for all of those things. And yet St. Paul says, but if I don't have faith, or if I have faith, even enough faith to move the mountains, but I don't have love, I have nothing. Why would he be saying this? Because faith by itself is not enough. You have to have faith in order to be saved. You cannot be saved without it. But by itself, it's not sufficient. We have to have faith with charity. That's even what we prayed for in the opening prayer. So we have to look at that question then. First of all, do we have faith? By that, I'm not saying, do we believe that God exists? Because remember, St. James talks about that and said, even Satan believes that. The demons know that God exists. They believe that. And he says they tremble. That wasn't enough to get them into heaven. So we have to have more than just a generic belief. The virtue of faith means that we believe in absolutely every single thing that God has revealed. Everything. That again becomes a problem in our society because of the relativism in which we live. The relativism says that I can choose what I want. I can make my own truth. I can decide what's right and wrong. I decide what's true and false. In other words, I am God. I know better than God. It doesn't matter what he has to say. I can decide for myself what I am going to believe and what I'm not. Now, most of us don't have much problem with the doctrinal issues. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the fact that Jesus is one person with two natures and so on. But it's the moral issues where we have problems. Contraception, euthanasia, abortion, even confession. Suddenly we know better than God. We don't need to believe all these things. Yeah, we do. Because unless we have that faith, we cannot have the charity. Charity has to build upon that faith. Now again, when we talk about charity, let's be very clear what we're not talking about. We're not talking about gush. We're not talking about romance. We're not talking about cute and fun. Listen to how St. Paul describes it. It is patient. It is kind. It is not jealous, pompous, inflated, or rude. It doesn't seek its own interests. It's not quick-tempered. It doesn't brood over injuries, and so on. Notice he's not talking about any gush in there. He's not talking about emotions. He's talking about how we treat other people. So we can look at that ourselves and ask, how do I deal with others? Because if love is the greatest of all the virtues, and it is, which is why Jesus commanded us to love God and neighbor, then what does that look like? Well, we can ask ourselves, when I deal with others, am I kind? When I deal with others, am I patient? When I deal with others, what kind of tone do I have in my voice? Am I really seeking what's best for the other person? Those are the kinds of things we have to look at. Do I think that I'm better than someone else and I'm looking down upon them? Am I condescending toward others? Am I angry? Am I nasty? And am I mean? Whatever it is you want to say. Whereas for the kids, we can say, am I a bully? Love seeks the good of the other person. All those other things that I just mentioned, none of them are for the good of the other. Now, love isn't being milquetoast, because sometimes to love is to do the most difficult thing. Parents know that part of love is to discipline your children. But it must be discipline out of charity, not discipline out of anger. It must be for what is truly best for the child, not to be able to satisfy your own frustration. That's the kind of charity that we're looking for. For couples who are married, that, by the way, is what you vowed to one another. It's why often at marriages I will point to the congregation and I'll say to the couple, all these wonderful people who've come to be with you at your marriage, they're really easy to love because they're all going to go home in a few minutes. But every day from now on, when you go home, this one person's going to be there. And some days that one person is going to be the most difficult person on the face of the earth to love, which is why you make a vow to love one other person and not all those other ones. Because they're easy to love, this one's going to be hard some days. That's where the love is being proven. That's where the love is growing when it's difficult. That's what our Lord is asking of us. He proved his love for us on the cross. Love is not easy. It's not always fun. It's not always exciting. but it is what we're going to do for eternity if we get to heaven. So that's again why we have to make a choice. Remember, this life is all about making the decision of where we're going to spend eternity. Our society is all about selfishness. Hell is purely selfish, 100% selfish. There is no love in hell, none. There are no friends, there is no love, there is nothing but pure selfishness. That's where our society is suggesting that we go. That's what it's preparing us for. That's why we have to make the choice to go against that, to truly live as the persons that we are, as sons and daughters of God, to make the choice to love because that's what heaven's going to be. There is no selfishness in heaven. It is pure love. It is going to be loving God and loving neighbor with our whole heart and soul and strength, which is why Jesus told us that's the greatest commandment. That's what we're going to do for eternity if we go the right direction. But that's a choice. We have to make that choice and we have to live that choice. So we have to look at the real question of where do I want to spend eternity? And what am I doing to get there? Because it's not a generic question, it's a very practical one that has to be answered in our day-to-day life by the way we live. So look at the people around you, look at the relationships, look at the situation at home, at work, in the neighborhood, in the various groups that you're part of, whatever it might be. And ask yourself, what's my disposition as I deal with these various people? Is it really charity? Am I truly loving God first? Because remember, we have to receive the love of God first. We don't initiate love, we have to receive it first. And then once it's there, then we have that love to give to others. So what's my prayer life like? What's my relationship with the Lord like? Am I truly loving Him so that I can love others the way that I want to, the way that is going to bring complete fulfillment? That's what God wants for us, only the best. Wants us to be fulfilled, which means to love and to be loved, because that's what we're created for. But that's the choice that we have to make. Our society is going the wrong direction. The Lord tells us the right direction. That's what we have to make a choice for. So from before you were even created, God knew you, and He called you. And He called you to be His son or His daughter. And He has called you to a vocation of love. That is the greatest thing. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. You are called to be a priest, a prophet, and a king because you're baptized into Christ. You are called to what is the greatest, to what we will do for all eternity, and that we are to start it now, to love God and to love neighbor.